You guys, are we on?
You know, in the case of talk radio, it always helps to pretend that you're live.
You know what? I think you're right. Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, you guys, hey, this is Wild at Heart, and I'm Noreen Halpand, and I'm broadcasting live from the Western Continental United States, which is California, okay? Anyway, where it is 9 p.m. here, and I know it's different time zones all over the world. You know, I just got a memo from one of our very supportive producers, and he said that, you know, it is a roundtable, but I do have a choice as to whether I want to pull in. If I'm going to pull in callers in the beginning, I can, or I don't, you know, maybe I can reserve half an hour. I'm just, really, you guys, I'm just going to go with the flow. But I am going to put the number out there in case somebody really wants to call in right now. They can, I'll pull them in or Skype me. But otherwise, we might just talk for the first maybe half hour and then, yeah, take calls. We'll just kind of go free form. So, yeah, if you still want to call, I'm not going to stop you. And that is area code 347-688-2902. Now, that is the number for Studio A. So I know some people get confused. Like, what studio is this? This is A. And although we have Studio B, too, which is like, you know, that is like really cool. I mean, I love B. Yeah, I think one thing that's cool about the station is we've got choices. And so, you know, we have A and B. So anyway, and Skyping for Studio A is Freedom Screen, all lowercase. Or you can Skype me personally, Noreen, N-O-R-E-E-N dot Halpand, H-E-L-P-H-A-N-D 1. Some of you guys already have my Skype. I highly suggest that you text me and let me pull you into the queue. Or whatever they call it, because the group. Because otherwise, if I accept your call, we could be dropped, and I have to call you guys all back. You know how that goes. So, anyways, with that, you guys, hi everybody in the chat room. Nice to see you in there. Basically, you know, my voice is kind of recovering, so excuse me. But I think it is. I think it's getting good here. I want to welcome all the people on the call here. We've got Nick. If you want to say hi, you can. Okay.
Hi.
Ah, hey, there you go. And we have Angela Black.
Aloha. Welcome to the show.
Aloha. Okay.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
You're welcome. And then we have Vinny. He says Vincent on here. Vinny Eastwood. Hi, Vinny. How are you?
Yeah, somewhat fabulous is my standard response.
I like that. I think that's very welcoming. Anyway, this is a round table, and you know what I usually do? Is I want to call out to the audience, say, hey, you know, we got this station with all these ideas that we put out into the universe and for your listening pleasure and education and information. To keep doing that, though, we have to support the station. When I say we, not picking on any person, just this is generic we, the listenership out there.
The generic we.
Or as the Big Lebowski would say, the royal we. You know, the editorial, you know, I donated directly as per your, anyway.
I'm going to a Big Lebowski, party this weekend. I swear.
Really? Are you serious?
I'm supposed to dress up and I'm like, who am I going to be? I really want to be, you know, I really want to be John Turturro's character, but I don't have a purple jumpsuit yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure, you know, because I know somebody else is going to go as Julianne Moore. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. You were on a roll.
I think it's funny.
About the generic we, and then we got into the royal we. So anyway, yes, we want you or us people to donate. That's where we were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you could do that through very, very many different means. Just go on freedomslips.com, hit the homepage and the site support, and you could donate any denomination of monies, right? That dirty word, monies, or whatever. Monies towards a good cause, which is station, or you can buy products. You can buy, my goodness, we've got non-GMO seeds that are still put out with a lot of hard work and love and effort by Mike Ringley, the owner of the station. And, you know, he really believes in this product, and they're heirloom seeds, so they're really good.
I have.
Yes, you do. Yes.
Yeah, I've got like a bunch of tomatoes growing on one plant right now that I definitely grew from the seeds I bought from, well, I didn't buy from Hawk. I donated to the station, and that was the gift I got. So, yeah, and I've got other things growing as well, but this one particular tomato plant is just, I think I've got about 14 or 15 tomatoes on the vine right now, so I'm very excited about that, and I would highly recommend it to anybody if you are looking for some type of a kickback for your donation. Go for the seeds. Go for the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
Hopefully you don't get busted for importing those seeds like Mark Emery did, but, you know, I don't think they're that kind of seed.
we got to talk about that. Hey, we're open here. But anyway, it's just...
I bet you any seeds, you know, are
they're all acceptable. Yes, they really are. So anyway, yeah, so you can buy those non-GMO seeds, or you can buy like t-shirts, bumper stickers. Those are all offered on the site. So that's one of the ways, you know, invite archives of last year's hosts and specify the show if you can do that. Anyway, instructions are on there. So thank you for that. And I want to welcome another wonderful guy, Wally Ladd. Hey, Wally, how are you?
Hey, Noreen. Love you.
Oh, love you guys too.
It's an Eastwood, Angela Black.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget Nick. Yeah.
I did. I said, I did.
Gotcha. Just in the nick of time.
Ah! Thank goodness. You know, we need comic relief, don't we? We really, you know, Vinny, that's one of the talents that Mr. Vinny. Do you like to be called Vinny more than Vincent, right?
Well, yeah, that's why I called my show the Vinny Eastwood Show, as opposed to the Vincent Eastwood Show, or the Vince Eastwood Show, or the Vintage Eastwood Show, as I was called in my student days, or Vin Cheezel, as my mates call me, because on account of the cacophonous sacks of corny jokes that pour forth from the rambling bloodstream of my brain places.
Well, hey, that's awesome. You guys, you know, before we kind of open this forum up, oh, I didn't even say anything. I was just going to say I was going to ask a question, but okay, I'm going to ask it. Okay. Vinny, I want to tell you that I know you live in New Zealand, and I had the opportunity last year to go with Douglas Dietrich to Australia. I want to just say, and I haven't been to New Zealand, but I am so impressed by the people from that hemisphere of the world. I think you guys are awesome. I just want to say that.
You realize there's quite a few different countries in the Southern Hemisphere, like are you, including Brazilians, people from Peru and Argentina.
Well,
you know,
I did specify.
South Africa, Zambia, Madagascar, they all included in the Southern Hemisphere. Oh, you guys kind of thing?
You know, my problem is that I did not specify, and usually I'm very good at geography, so forgive me. You know, this is ironic. I know you guys are Southern, quote, but I don't know the proper, you know, the terminology for that region, I suppose. Okay, the region. So I guess I don't know.
South Pacific, you know.
You know, I was going to say it is the South Pacific.
It's generally pretty close to the mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is interesting because that's amazing in a way, because it did occur to me that it was the South Pacific. So I was actually going to say that. I'm not kidding. So I just wanted to say I'm very impressed with the people and the beauty of the areas in your region in the South.
I'm sure there's a few asses as well.
Yes, there is.
Just saying, you know, there might be a couple. I'm not sure. Vinny not being one of them, but, you know, hey, it's funny. I have to tell you. You know, I come from a state, I come from a state in land called America, and it's called Wisconsin. And it's so funny, when I moved to California, I now live in Nevada. But when people used to find out that I was from Wisconsin, they used to say, oh, do you know John?
And you're like,
John from, you know, John, he lives in Wisconsin. I'm like, I know a couple of Johns, you know.
My goodness.
Anyway.
I know a couple of Johns, but apparently I don't know Jack.
That could be taken in so many ways, you guys. I'm just kidding.
I caught myself after I said it, but the point was...
It often can be taken in many ways.
Uh-oh.
It's okay.
Breathing.
It was a totally platonic thing, man.
Yeah, exactly. We're just talking, you know.
You know, Angela, speaking of, this isn't Wisconsin, but this is in your area. You are saying something about apples that you texted me something about apples, and I'm like, Wow, yeah. What's this thing with apples?
Well, I did want to talk about this if we had a quick second. You know, I did grow up in Wisconsin, and many apples grow there. It's wonderful soil. It's wonderful land. I live up here in Lake Tahoe, and it's very interesting to watch apple trees grow. There are a few, and my neighbor and I went today. There was a particular private yard, and it had a sign out that said, pick apples. Take as many as you like. You pick. And they actually provided an apple picker. And then we also went to a couple of other more public spots and picked apples all day. Now, as they say, you know, if God gives you lemonade, you know, I'm sorry, if God gives you lemons, make lemonade. I totally screwed that punchline up. But anyway, so we got like 150 apples today, and I am in the process of making applesauce today. I haven't made applesauce since I was a child hanging out with my grandmother, so I'm really excited, and that is why I wanted to bring it up, because it is a roundtable, and we get to talk about, you know, our day, as well as political topics and, you know, world events and that type of thing. So I just wanted to share with everyone that my big moment is honoring my grandmother and making applesauce today. Yes.
Yummy, yum, yum.
Angela, you know why that sign was on that apple tree for free apples?
Why?
Think of all them apples laying underneath the ground, all squishy and gishy and buggy and
absolutely.
And they don't have to rake. They don't have to rake the apples up that fall on the ground. So if they can give them away, that's less they have to pick up.
Correct. And the frost is here, and it would be such a waste. So we gathered a bunch of them.
Well, Angela, now you're going to have to make applesauce and apple pie and everything and mail it to each of us on this call, which means Vinny Eastwood way down under in New Zealand, okay? No,
Vinny, I hope it'll keep.
Yeah. Well, see, as a journalist, you're not supposed to reveal your sources.
So...
No, that's a good point. Vin, since we do have the privilege, I guess, privilege, Vinny, no, just kidding, of having you on, no, we love you, would you, you know, you have a... really quickly mention you have a show on Revolution Radio on Studio B. Can you give the time, date, and any information about that out there?
It's 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern time on Wednesdays on Studio B, freedomslips.com, where you'll get 2 hours of fantastic talk radio by moi. And it'll be just so fabulous that you won't be able to believe it. And in fact, it'll be the very reason why you continue to listen to freedomslips.com. Just hoping that they rerun show.
Awesome. Awesome. I have some questions for you, but you know what? You guys, this is free forum if you want to make statements, or if you want to, you guys ask questions to Vinny. And I'm going to look in the chat room and see if there's any questions to any of us or to Vinny. Okay, I'm going to, Heather, I'm going to pull you in by. Yeah, I have to do this. Otherwise, we're going to get dropped. Okay, Heather? So she's going to have to... I'm going to pull her in, okay? Because that's kind of what I do. I don't just, you know, it's like I have to do that way. Heather,
yeah, I kind of felt rejected there, Noreen.
No. Nobody.
And I knew what was going on.
Yeah. So where's Heather here? I'm looking for her. Heather Holman. It's kind of hard when you, like, have to... You have to type the thing in, and then you go back in.
I can also interject while you're going through the technical moments of live radio.
And producing on air.
I just really want to say I'm very glad Mercury has
retrograde. Tell me about it.
It was a really weird October. I take it with a grain of salt. But it was a doozy. So I'm really excited. It left retrograde, I believe, on Saturday, the 25th, and it has a lingering period of about a week. I'm curious to find out if the rest of the people on the call believe in it, et cetera. But I have to say I'm already feeling, you know, like everything's about to start running smooth. I don't do tarot a lot, but I found my tarot cards, and I just did a one-card pull, and everything seems to be going forward. I made my husband do one, and it told him he had to start focusing. He got the Seven of Cups. And and so he told me he had to start focusing. I got the reversed Wheel of Fortune, which was apparently positive. And so very interesting. But yeah, Mercury, retrograde, long gone or on its way out. Thank you. Higher
power. We can all see a unanimous phew. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to put you all under my power and give you a hypnotic suggestion that from now on, all planetary retrogrades and or alignments bring good fortune.
There you go. Very good.
Oh, I'm so hypnotized.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, you guys, I want to welcome Heather Holman. Hey, Heather.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, H-H? Hey, hey. Mm-hmm.
I call you HH now. You're straight up HH.
HH. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. It's like Her Royal Highness, right? It's like all these cool, like,
VE. I don't know. He's still Vinny. You know, Vinny. VE. Not
Her Highness.
Okay. So, How does everyone feel about the retrograde thing? I'm sorry. I just need to know.
Can I say first? Because we all went through so much, all of us. Yeah. I got to say this because I do study astrology, as you guys know, amateur astrologer here. And then you guys go ahead and cue in if you want. The Mercury retrograde in Scorpio in the early degrees fell in my third house of communications. So I was thinking, wow, all this week I've been inundated with these bizarre scenarios with communications in and around the internet, my home, the whole thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, when is it going to? So finally, everything now just seems like, whew. But yeah, it was in my third house. So that's why I want to comment about that. Third house rules communication, see? And then Mercury retrograde in the third in Scorpio, which is very intense, right? So there you go. Does anybody else have any commentary on that? Go for it.
Scorpio!
Well,
I was actually talking to one of my I'm producing a couple of shows for two Kiwis at the moment, and one of them was actually talking about this Mercury in retrograde. And yeah, man. Everybody seemed to be going through it this last couple of months. And incidentally, it was happening during an election in New Zealand where my YouTube channel got deleted. I had like 16,000 YouTube subscribers on that puppy bear with like 3.5 million hits. I was the biggest channel in the country, even bigger than the mainstream media competitors. Well, in terms of news anyway, not the entertainment channels, They obviously have like hundreds of thousands of slaves who subscribe to them. But, that's not what I was after. I was after beating the local mainstream media. So that was a big turn off, Thank you, Mercury, you retrograded son of a wench.
I love that. Tell that Mercury off.
Retrograded son of a wench. I'm sorry, I may steal that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'll give you credit. I'll pay you.
Yes, yeah, you feeling all right, man? You look a little retrograded. Maybe you need some of the high-grade stuff to take some of that tension off, man.
Oh my gosh. Cheech, you do a good Cheech and Chong, man. Oh, my gosh, man.
Kiwi Cheech. Kiwi Cheech.
Dave's not here.
Dave's not here, man.
Yeah. Well, we can all do a show related to Cheech and Chong's famous favorite weed. But anyway, go ahead.
Hey, man, am I hosting the radio? Okay. I think we're off air, man.
Yeah, one of the best albums, Big Bamboo, and I wish I'd have saved that paper because that album would be worth a lot of money. But that's where an ounce of what went.
It went up in smoke.
For that.
Right, Wally? It went up in smoke. No,
it went up in smoke.
Right.
In fact, that particular time we used it, we went to the movie theater, and we were driving a Volkswagen Bug, and I think there was about 8 of us packed into that Bug. And
that's required. I think that's a requirement.
Well, naturally, they didn't, they didn't start with a key. Everybody had to get out and push start it, which was one of the best things of a Volkswagen. But we went to watch, what was that movie? It starred Wolfman Jack.
Oh, wow. Now
oh, my gosh.
And never heard Wolfman Jack till we went to that movie.
Really?
And, the funny thing is we rolled that paper up. And we lit it up and got the car started. And once the car started, the radio played.
Is that man.
We never heard Wolfman Jack prior to that movie.
American Graffiti?
Yes. That might be it.
We came out. We sparked that paper up. Of course, that was just like the Whopper, two hands. Mm-hmm. And Wolfman Jack was on the radio.
Really?
He freaked out. And it was all planned and across the nation, and that movie came out that was basically the starting of Wolfman Jack, at least, the East here. I think Wolfman Jack was known in the West.
Wally, you seem to be breaking up like a Hollywood couple over there, bro.
Paper, and we rolled it up, and that was our first experience of Wolfman Jack.
Yeah. And, like, you know, that reminds me of a movie called The Howling. You know, it was obviously about... And what was it? They were lying in bed and they hear these werewolves howling in the back and she goes, oh my God, that doesn't sound like a normal wolf or something. And he goes, what are you talking about? You're from California. The wildest thing you ever heard was Wolfman Jack.
You know, Vinny, you're really good at these impressions. I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah. Stroke his ego more. That's what he needs.
I should have been like a fossil sample finder or something. I'm that good at finding impressions.
Jeez. Wow.
And aren't you, I'm sorry, but aren't you a youngster? Like, you're young, aren't you? Like, yeah. In the terms of human age factor.
You're in your 30s, right? If that's what she's trying to say.
No. I'm not 30 yet.
Oh,
I love that about you. And because you're, you know, I'll tell you why. It's, you know, of course, you know, that whole cougar thing. No, I'm kidding. But I really wanted to just point out that, you know, your wisdom, you know, is really incredible. And I don't want to say for your age, because your wisdom is incredible anyway. But it is also very interesting to listen to you, you know, utilize references to things that many of us that are, you know, I'm in my 40s. And a lot of us are you know, slightly older than you. So it's really cool to know that you're, you know, that you walk the walk and back up a lot of what you're doing. And your wisdom is not accidental from what I'm gathering. Mm. You know, your wisdom's not accidental.
Yeah, I mean, you're some pioneer.
There you go.
Well, you know, I remember what John F. Kennedy said about the pioneers, and he said that those people gave up their comfort, their safety, and sometimes their lives to build our new West. Mm-hmm. And there's some people who say that those days are all over, that all the horizons have been explored. And my call is to the young at heart, regardless of age, can we see through in a day where we can seek mastery of the sky and the rain, the ocean and the tides, the far reaches of space, and the inside of men's minds.
Wow. Mm. Not bad, man.
Wow. True that.
And again, with the random references, you know, you make a comment about my wisdom. Oh, for fuck's sake, excuse me. Pardon. I said for frack's sake, as in fracking. It's a terrible, terrible hydraulic fracturing process. You know, I just hate it when people call me in the middle of a show, and it just happens so often these days. It's just, yeah, again, the mercury, just coming out of retrograde. Right. We'll blame that for it.
Don't.
Isn't there like a 40-second delay on this puppy? But there's no. But there's nobody there with a bleeper.
But there's no mute button. I mean, there's no. What is that button called? The anyway, the drop button or whatever they call it. Anyway,
fine.
Huh?
It's gonna be fine.
Yeah. It's okay, Vinny.
Moving on.
Yeah,
it's good.
There's a shadow.
The New Zealand accent, so it really didn't sound like.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we move on? Because what we're doing is laboring the point, and I actually was trying to make a point before I got so rudely interrupted myself.
There's a shadow period after before and after Mercury retrograde. Yeah, so that's probably what this effect is. So it's okay.
The shadow period. Yeah, my missus gets those. And I also wanted to talk about like where my wisdom actually comes from, and it's not mine, and I didn't earn it. All right. The reason why I've got, you know, what people would say is great wisdom or great wisdom for my age, etc., is because I basically only hang out and talk to, in the main, people that are on average nearly twice my age, who are actually really exceptional in their fields and their knowledge and their life experience, that kind of thing. And what happens is when you're somebody like that, you give knowledge freely to others, regardless of whether or not they've had to earn it. And what I've had to do to earn that is basically just talk to them, and they give it freely. So whatever wisdom I have, it's a result of what's been given to me. And I think that's that same goes for everybody. If you want to, you know, up your game somewhat, I advise you to do what I've been doing. Try and talk to people that are smarter than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
I do that every day. No, seriously. And people with age, you know, and experience in life, it's so important. I learned so much from my grandparents, and I absolutely love engaging in conversation with people, and I find it very interesting. You know, now that you bring that up, I'm sorry to just jump in. Of course, you know, I'm not that sorry, but ageism, you know, and the way that certain nations, certain cultures, I should say, will treat their elderly with respect and that type of thing. I don't know if that's starting to fade, but I know that it is a rampant situation where people are not treating their elders with respect. You know, in many, at least of the Western, countries, you know, the westernized countries, if you will. And, you know, I just find that so odd. Because it's true, if you're hanging out with people that are older than you, and I'm talking about elderly people as well, you know, I mean, I actually refer to those, you know, people in their 70s, 80s, 90s, it's amazing stories that this is. But not having a conversation about World War I with my grandfather, I take back. I think he was World War II. Yeah, he was born in 1907, and he passed away about 3 years ago, like that. But I never got into a conversation with him about that, his experiences, and that type of thing. So, you know, I have regrets about certain conversations I have not had, and I have to say that I very much regret those conversations that I have. It's amazing. So just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, you know, speaking of the theory or the topic of wisdom, I was actually texting Vinny earlier in the text box saying, hey, dude, you know, you got any thoughts? You know, you got any thoughts in your mind you want to share? And Vinny's like, nah, not really. But I know this cat's got a lot to share. You know, anybody here on the call or in the chat room, or if you want to call in and ask, it's cool. Or if you want to ask any of us big wig stars too.
Can I jump in here? Because there was something I wanted to talk about is how lazy a radio show interviewer I am and why.
Okay.
I don't research my guests. I don't know anything about them, right? Going into it, all I know is basically their email address and maybe their name.
That's awesome.
All right, and there's a reason for that. I know as much going in as the average member of the audience does, and I know how to get to know somebody. So if you're listening to somebody and they're being interviewed for the first time, you'll actually really get to know them. And they'll be given space to speak, you know. Because when you're trying to learn something about somebody, you try to let them do the majority of the talking, and you ask them questions or you offer interjections, that kind of thing. And I reckon that's kind of how it should be, because ultimately a lot of talk radio is kind of like processed, or it's, you know, it just kind of seems sort of dry and unfeeling to me. I want to bring that kind of emotional friendliness and fun back to the radio.
You made a very, very important point.
It's screened. It's called screen. Yes. They screen them prior. Mm-hmm. Most of your hosts.
No, Vinny's saying he doesn't screen.
Not surprised. Right. But when someone does know it, they're screening them first prior, so they don't have any surprises. Mm-hmm. Vinny likes surprises.
Well, Vinny, can I say something? Ironically, dude, I barely researched you at all when I pulled you in. So I'm on the same page, ironically, tonight. Yeah, no,
I love
seriously.
It that way, too. Yeah. You know, what, do I have time or something? Come
you
on.
Guys don't know who Vinny Eastwood is?
No, we know, but I just didn't do any in-depth.
Come on.
Well, see, somebody was telling me, like, oh, my God, you haven't seen The Wire, or you haven't seen, you know, some of the description of TV show. And I said, sorry, bro, I was busy, you know, working and living my life instead of trying to live vicariously through the lives of fictional characters. So, sorry.
I agree.
And I think talk radio is kind of like that as well. I think like somebody was trying to like lavish me with praise the other day, and it actually made my skin crawl. And I was like,
"Oh, I get it."
Like, no. I mean, they were being very, very genuine and supportive, but basically, it kind of like you can't freaking worship anybody, least of all me, and because I'm just a man, and I'm just as likely to be wrong as any other guy.
Right. Good point.
You know, you've been doing this for a really long time, though. So I'm wondering, like, what inspired you to start doing this? I mean, you had all the knowledge and the wisdom.
Yeah, day one. You know what I mean? Right,
was it
Heather?
The radio? Were you just, like, natural on the radio? Do you have some, like...
I found out, when I was starting out as an actor. Like, I got busted for weed, and that was pretty freaking traumatic. Yeah, yeah, it kind of broke me down, sort of thing. It was like the lowest point I've ever been in my life. Like, this real massive septic shock, like going from the police tell the truth and governments are there to protect you to actually feeling the brute force of their lies, deceit, and inadequacies in their legislation and the punishment for crimes. Like, I had 13 grams of pot. And they gave me 300 hours community service, and I was lucky I didn't get 8 years in prison for a first offense, right? Mm-hmm. That's how mm-hmm. nasty it was. And you know, I was like 20, and this was...
I was thinking, were you 19? I was wondering, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I was 19 when I started doing it, and I'd just turned 20 when the cops walked up the door with a couple of dogs and stuff. And after that, you know, I went... and did a bit of work in the vineyards back at home and on Waiheke Island. It's just a little island off the coast of Auckland, New Zealand's largest city, like 1.4 million people. Mm-hmm. And there's like 3,500 on the island. You know, it's kind of like Amity Island and Jaws, except the sharks are worse.
Oh my goodness.
No, I'm just joking. We didn't know sharks. Uh-huh. The ones we have wear suits.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. Come on, I'll have a comment later.
And I'll take a bite out of you. But yeah, I then worked for three years doing telemarketing, I think you call
I've done
it.
That.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
Calling yes. people up when they're trying to have yep. their dinner and try to sell them yep. some stuff that they're not interested in. Mm-hmm. I was able to convince on average one out of two people that picked up that phone to buy what I was selling them.
Did you feel dirty?
No, because I never lied. Only told the truth and went into the situations bold-faced, no preparation, not knowing who they are, what they're about, and be able to communicate clearly, directly, truthfully, and supportively to make sure that they actually got what they needed. If I could help them, I'd help them. If I couldn't, I'd actually tell them where to go to get a better deal. I tried to do it honestly and ethically. So naturally, I got fired.
I was going to say.
And that was like out of three jobs that kind of didn't go so well when you've got morals and ethics in the sales field, and you kind of become some sort of a pariah because you actually sell more than the other lying, cheating, psychopathic, narcissistic, sociopathic exactly. scumbags around you.
So that's lying, cheating, narcissistic, sociopathic scumbags around you.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever done sales?
I want to hear about the scumbaggery.
Yeah, well, I think scumbaggery came out of a realization that there was sort of like this illness. Like throughout my entire life, I'd been the victim of it. Like you'd be surprised if you're a loudmouth who's reasonably bright, who's quite creative and excels above a lot of other people without even trying a lot of the time, how many people who really, really have to try hard will actually stop trying so hard at being good at who they are and what they do and let you do your thing. They'll actually spend extra time and effort to mess up your life in order to tear you down to their level, you know, instead of trying to improve themselves. This is how people work in general. Psychopaths are even a lot worse than that. And
oh, yes.
It's kind of like
you're speaking my language. I told, you know, everything you're saying, I'm like, yep.
Yeah. It's about right, isn't it? And I'm just sick of the way I've been sick my entire life of how I've been treated, how society mm-hmm. is, seeing yes. all the problems everywhere. And so naturally when I started listening to American talk radio and finding and watching like two documentaries a day, in a space of 6 months, I went from, okay, I'm working and I'm making like $1,000 a week after tax at the age of like 23, without even really putting the effort in. And then getting an $11,900 shopping voucher bonus on top of that month's work. You know, I went from that to, my God, I've got to quit my job. I'm freaking depressed. I hate absolutely everything. Everything sucks. I'm a cog in a machine. We're all going to get freaking exterminated. We're going to get we're going to be chemtrailed to death, fluoridated to death, radiated to death, freaking everything to death. And unless I do something. you know, I cannot sit here and say, hey, look, I can help you out with your phone bill and think like I'm contributing enough to society. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of justification, oh, I've got my kids, I've got my this, I've got my that. You won't have any kids. You won't have any organic food. You won't have any anything. You're going to die. You're going to get exterminated by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery people with submachine guns and black masks. There's no way out, bro. You got to do something. That was like my brain was just shrieking at me. Bro, what are you doing? You're going to work. You're making money. You're going to be exterminated. You're going to be exterminated. Shrieking at me all day long. I can't even freaking contain it. And you get really, really depressed and then you quit your job. And you, when your money runs out, you go, oh, my God, I'm really, really sad and really depressed because your money's run out. So you go to the doctor and you say, man, I'm feeling really, really depressed. And conveniently in New Zealand, it's an incredibly socialist country. So he gives you $200 a week to live off, basically, is what they call a sickness benefit. And so I started my radio show and I started going out to protests and public meetings with my camera and editing them on my Mac and starting my YouTube videos. I got introduced to a woman called Vapi Kupinga, who's like the top Māori, you know, local natives in New Zealand radio show host. And she got me to co-host with her a couple of times and she'd, you know, buy me coffee and get me cake and stuff when I was like feeling really terrible.
Biscuits or something.
Rum cake?
And I'm even wearing one of the hand-me-down shirts she gave me from her son right now. And that was like 2 years ago she passed away. And it was quite sad when that happened, but she taught me one of my most important kind of realizations about talk radio. The reason why she was popular on a non-mainstream network, more popular than any other mainstream show in talk radio in New Zealand, is because she was able to talk about any issue and be able to relate it to Māori. And that's why she had such a massive Māori listenership, and as well as many others. And when I got given a radio show by American Freedom Radio, I learned that lesson that I have to be able to explain things but relate them to Americans. Because it was America that changed me. It was the information and the documentaries that were coming out of American mouths and American TV sets by which I learned much of my accumulated knowledge about the world. And
can I ask you, comparatively, I know because you live in a British Commonwealth, right? Would you say that anything that came out of Britain affected you as such, or is it a different, totally different ball game? Or
well, of course. I mean, there's all influences from everywhere. I mean,
sure.
You know, I've got a South African wife, for example.
Right.
And so, you know, it's an eclectic base of knowledge, but predominantly, when you look at the truth movement, when you look at who's making the documentaries, who's making the YouTube videos and all of that kind of stuff, who's got the biggest population, the most amount of resources and the most amount of people that are tech savvy that are actually doing that stuff right now? It's America. Yes. All right. And you know, by sheer default, that's the audience that needs to be turned, because when you look at the United States and you look at New Zealand, let's say we've got 4.5, maybe 5 million in New Zealand, and you've got nearly 400 million in the United States, give or take, maybe a couple of hundred extra million illegals there. But the point is, it's the center hub of the military dominance arm of the New World Order. It's the manufacturing base of the intelligence, of the intelligentsia, spy network, and the drug money. It's where Wall Street is. This is all a strategic asset. I think that's how the elite view the United States, as basically a strategic asset in their war machine in order to take over the world for those countries that will resist.
Sure.
Right? And so I figured, if we're not free here down in New Zealand because we've got all the exact same freaking problems, we've got the fluoride, we've got the chemtrails, we've got the poisons and the pharmaceutical industry reps selling people pills that they don't need that freaking make them commit suicide, and so on and so forth. You know, same problems, different accent, you know. That's basically the only patent difference. And that's when my realization hit me. I'm not free, and my country's not free unless all of us are free, unless all of our countries are free. It's like how they used to tie down zeppelins. They'd have ropes lashed over them from the front to the back. So it doesn't matter if one rope slips out or something like that. The zeppelin's not going to float away because it's secured by all of these others. The only way to get all of our countries out of this mess with the New World Order is to revoke all of their authority simultaneously and restore everybody's sovereignty. Because if we do it at once, one country at a time, that means all of the New World Order controlled countries are going to come and kill you and your people. You ain't going to be free for long, buddy.
Not only that, Vinny, but you've got geopolitical differences between different, not just Axis powers and so forth, but the regions, you know, this area, you know, if you take, for example, the West, and you've got the Middle East, and you have Asia, you know, the East, and then you have, Latin America. All these regions have their own, constitutions, cultures, morality, regulations, and even that which we can't see, like you were talking about New World Order type of scenarios, which you can't always see with the naked eye, right? You have to kind of be aware of it. So what you're kind of maybe saying, what I'm picking up from you, is that if it doesn't kind of happen in one general fell swoop, then what happens is you got one kind of power that's very different from another, and they're going to try to usurp or interfere, and there's too much conflict going on. Is that kind of what you're saying in a sense, or am I off, or just wondering? I don't know if he's there.
I was accidentally on mute. It's more the fact that we're affected by the exact same problems, the same group of psychopathic cabal, scumbaggery, secret society, networking, schmoozing, business, green Nazi, round table group, trilateral commission, Bilderberg scum. We were literally up to our ears in it, mate. You know, if you have a look, say, let's give you an example. In the year 2008, the United States elected a man named Barack Obama, who worked for a law firm who didn't do any law practice and tends to be a corrupt scumbag. And New Zealand, his mentor, I think, Zbigniew Brzezinski was Obama's mentor. New Zealand, we elected a guy called John Key, who's, I think, mentor was listed in 2011, I think, as the top corrupt capitalist. They listed a top 10, and our Prime Minister John Key's mentor was the number one. And he used to work on Wall Street for the Federal Reserve Bank of New York doing global foreign exchange and derivative trading.
Jeez, right? Talk about...
Now, he got elected as the head of a blue party called the National Party. Barack Obama got elected for a blue party called the Democrats. John Key passed successive legislation that took away everybody's rights to privacy. Obama did the exact same thing. John Key, in his first term, got New Zealand into more debt than all previous prime ministers in the nation's history combined. And Barack Obama, in his first term, got the United States into more debt than all previous presidents throughout history combined. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying when I say we've got the same problem?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
That's what I'm saying.
Is that the 100th monkey? Is that the 100th monkey politician? You know,
well, as far as I'm concerned, there's many monkeys, and I don't know if it's just 100 of them. There's probably more. But basically, all you're seeing is chimps in the suit. And ultimately, they're just as likely to rip your face off as they are to get your economy cranking again.
That's a terrible laughter. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. There's just
nothing uncomedic about having your face ripped off by a chimpanzee.
Sorry.
All I can think of is bath salts at this point. I'm like, wow, politicians on bath salts. I mean,
Well, you know, Vinny, she was referring to, you've probably heard about some of the scandals here in the U.S. with mayors of various cities, you know, doing crack cocaine in hotels with hookers.
And also zombies eating people's faces off. You know? So, you know, there's that. And then you could just combine those and make your own animal, I suppose. Yeah. You know, if you had like... a new, like, you know, paper doll game. Where, remember the paper doll games where, well, ladies might remember this, you know, where we had like the cutout girl and we got to like cut out the dresses, et cetera. Well, all we have to do really to zombie is put the politician suit on. And wait a minute, Vinny, weren't you saying last week? Yes, you were. It was you talking about politicians being made to wear, or they should be being made to wear stripes. And, right? And you were talking about them, you know, being thrown, you know, a piece of food or something along those lines. I remember it.
Well, they need to be wearing a stripy black and white jumpsuit, just like out of a 1930s prison movie. And they need to be chained to a desk with a ball and chain around their ankle. And now you're a public servant.
Yes. Yes. And then there was some other comment that you made, and it just it stayed with me most of the week, and I've lost it, of course, right now. But yes, basically, so you're looking at, you know, zombie politicians eating the faces off of people. That's where we're at. Is that? Am I close?
Well, The Walking Dead's kind of nailed it, you know. That's basically what we are. I saw a great picture on Facebook. And there was all these arms coming through the fence lines and stuff, and a dude on the other side, and it says, you may think that the current society is basically just a bunch of mindless zombies surrounding you, and a real zombie apocalypse would actually just give you something practical to do.
Oh, man.
Like, I don't know, board up your houses, you know, acquire more firearms. And, you know, grow your own food inside the house, hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Inside the compound?
Defend yourself, defend your family, kill off the zombies and that kind
of
thing.
Make friends with your neighbors. Make friends with your neighbors.
Well, and then be prepared to shoot them or they'll eat you.
Don't make too good friends with the neighbors, guys.
Right.
In fact, what was it? A survivalist once told me the most dangerous thing in a crisis is a man with hungry kids.
Yeah, I would say so.
And the most important thing that you need to have in a crisis is your brain. If you can keep thinking, you can survive. If you stop thinking, if you stop moving, if you stop scheming, plotting to survive, you're not going to live.
Wow.
Well, you know, I wanted to see if... Wally, you've been kind of quiet. Do you have any comments or anything?
Sorry, I was just, I was Skyping. I just got some music sent to me from a lady that I really enjoyed talking with this afternoon, so you kind of caught me.
Well, don't let us keep you up, you know, don't let us.
No. Mad Painter took a couple hours that was vacated. And brought T.J. Mars on, or T.J. Morris, excuse me. And a wonderful lady. I hope she becomes a host. She just sent some Celtic music on the Skype machine from earlier, and I was just typing back. Because I put on mute and listened to some of this Celtic music. It's wonderful. And told her I'd get back to her later, but. Kind of been paying attention, but kind of not.
That's okay.
Me.
Is Nick still on too? I always love Nick's wisdom.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Nick, what's on your mind? What are your thoughts on what we're talking
about? Well, I was just thinking about stuff that Vinny was talking about, how, you know, we have to get back control of our lives. We have to, basically, if indeed there are 7 billion people on this planet, then I have inherited 1/7 billionth of the livable space on this planet. And where is it? It seems to have been stolen from me. And so as
livable
a result,
space.
Yeah, you know, and as a result, I can't farm. I can't take care of myself because my inheritance has been stolen.
Oh.
So if we were to each get our portion, our inheritance of this planet, then what we do is, first of all, we donate like 90% of it to the common good, so that we can have representatives and administrators administer that property to make sure that it creates a community that functions to serve us all. And what they've done is we've got a whole bunch of pirates instead that have turned us into the servants of their system.
Yeah, like permaculture, is forbidden, people's organic farms, livestock, are being, completely raided by, these police or whatever. I mean, and I don't know about you, Vinny. I know in Australia, it's kind of a requirement. I think it's a requirement to gather rainwater. Up here, it's illegal in many areas to gather rainwater for your homestead, et cetera.
Americans.
You guys, excuse me. The music is coming. Please hold those comments. We want to hear them when we get back from the break. Thank you, everyone. Just mute and please come back and continue. Thank you. Welcome back to Wild at Heart Roundtable. Oh, I hope I'm not echoing. This is Noreen Halpan. And we've got Nick here, Angela back, Heather Holman. We had Wally earlier, Wally Ladd, and Vinny Eastwood. You guys were kind of on this roll talking about water rights and so forth in New Zealand or whatever. Go ahead, you guys.
I was just wondering, we're going to play a game called Where's Wally first, but in New Zealand, the water quality thing's pretty bad. Like, I think about half of New Zealand streams are classified now as undrinkable, or you can't swim in them because they're so polluted. And our water quality standards are really, really low. Like, for example, triclifer, which is the active ingredient in Monsanto Roundup, we are allowed 1,000 times more of that pesticide element under our drinking water standards than they allow under European drinking water standards in the EU. Mm-hmm. So we're basically allowed to drink a pesticide soup in this country, and we also dump what's called Compound 1080. It's like a monofluoroacetate, so fluoride's the active ingredient in it. And they soak up all these baits, like pieces of carrot and what have you, and they drop them by the ton into our pristine bushland, right into the water catchment areas. And I met a woman one time at an anti-1080 public meeting, and she lived in a community that was downstream from one of these big 1080 helicopter drops. And there were 9 boys born with extra urethras, like extra holes in their penises. It was really, really horrific stuff, and it kills animals so massively bad. Like they don't die instantly. No, it takes days. They're sitting there writhing in agony, and these filmmakers here, the Graff boys, they came across a deer, and these are outdoorsmen, like the bushmen of New Zealand, and they found this deer that was down on the ground, and she'd been writhing in agony so badly that she'd actually vomited up her own stomach out of her mouth. Like, her stomach was hanging out of this poor deer's mouth, and the horror that can be seen on the faces of these guys. And the point that that's just one that they found, and it's happening on a mass scale all along the pristine New Zealand bush, and the government's just like, no, we have to do it. We have to keep the possums down because they eat our native plants.
Oh my God. That is just horrid, that story. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, man.
We are under the impression that, New Zealand is, pristine and the water is beautiful, et cetera. So it's very interesting that you're telling me this. Is that just the municipalities, or you're saying that it's in the entire water supply now? What, and it's 1080?
Compound 1080. There's only one company on earth that manufactures it, and it manufactures it in a small shed in Alabama. And we use 95% of the world's supply. And every country in the entire world, with the exception of New Zealand, has made it illegal for outdoor use.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to introduce the new caller, but he's going to be right back. Yeah.
Okay, wow. So, all right, now, so that's infiltrated into the water supply. How again?
No, we're not talking about like that's in the water supply everywhere. This is just our water catchment areas and mountain streams and prime bushland that's affected.
Only those areas.
yeah. Which doesn't encompass too much of the country anymore, because we've got a lot of forestry going on and cutting down the native bush like there's no tomorrow. Soon enough, we'll be like Easter Island, where there's not a single frickin' tree. But it's good while it lasts, isn't it? And people get this impression that New Zealand's like clean, green, and pristine, and there's no corruption and things like that. And one of my acquaintances was having a drink with somebody who worked for the Serious Fraud Office in New Zealand, like the people who investigate big, serious cases of fraud, obviously. And she said, I can't believe people think that New Zealand is the world's least corrupt country. And this person across the table corrected her, and she goes, perceived least corrupt country, because there's this company, well, international organization, rather, called Transparency International. And they send out a voluntary questionnaire to countries around the globe, asking them to fill out what kind of corruption that they've been having and how big of a problem it is. So New Zealand goes, so they ask New Zealand, hey bro, have you got any corruption going on? And New Zealand goes, why no, we don't. And they send it back blank. And so we are then top three least corrupt country in the world, up there with Finland, which has like, I don't know, 14 million people, and they only allow 500 immigrants a year.
Yeah.
And Singapore, which is run by one man and his family.
Yes, it is a crazy thing. I want to say hello to a new caller, Rupert. Hello, say hi.
Hello.
Hi, Rupert. Welcome. Do you have any comments or questions you'd like to say?
Well, usually I'm kind of a contrarian, and we'll try to find something funny. I'm kind of a comedian, but after listening to Vinny talk, I don't really have anything funny to say about that. Like, it's not funny.
I know.
Well, the thing is, you've got to make funny jokes about real bad things, otherwise there's going to be a war over it, you know? Like, in fact, I was just thinking during the debate, Rupert, by the way, and how long has the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians been going? Real long time, right? Why?
Yes, exactly.
Because they've lost their sense of humor about it. Here's how you know.
Oh, man.
It's been going on for like 40, 50 years or whatnot. How many Israel-Palestine jokes have you ever heard?
Not anything off the top of my head. How about you guys?
See? That's why they're still at war. As soon as they lose their sense of humor about it, that's all you got.
Wow.
Yes.
So the words too soon apply or don't apply.
That's kind of what I feel about bureaucrats, is they take all the joy and joie de vivre out of life and kind of regiment everything, and they think everybody should live like them in some dry, sick office where somebody gets a cold and everybody gets a cold. And that's your life. You sit behind a desk and you sit behind the wheel and then you sit on your couch and watch TV and the cycle repeats.
Vinny's got the solution for that, though. You stick them in stripes so they've got a new fashion sense, and then stick them with a ball and chain, which would also be like a new, you know, accessory, and then feed them occasionally and make them do work and have them actually be public servants. I think it's good.
Or actually just have several balls on the one chain or something, because then they can admire the size of each other's spherical objects. It'll be fantastic.
And maybe the length of the chain could be different as well.
Well, no, just force them all to get married and have two balls on the end of their chain, so that way they can refer to their balls and chain.
Now, let me ask you a question. Rupert and Vinny, have you ever come across each other before? Are you guys familiar with each other?
Yeah, we know each other.
I thought so.
And I've done radio with Vinny a few times.
I thought so.
Well, yeah, it's been awesome.
Rupert, just so you know, Vinny is the newest addition to Revolution Radio, and I just wanted to let you know that. And we are waiting for you, Rupert, as well, but we are happy, that we have Vinny here. And your show again, Vinny, you want to give us that time slot?
Do I want to give you that time slot? No, you got your own. But it's from 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time till midnight, Wednesday nights on Studio B on Freedom Slips. That's a mouthful. It's the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news.
But, your last name is it's a cool last name. You share it with a very famous movie star.
Mm-hmm. Clint.
Yes.
Yeah. I was in a movie with him recently, actually.
Who?
my friend. We have a friend that was in the movie. What was it? Hoover? Which movie?
The
J. Edgar. Yeah. Our friend's in that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Rupert, what's on your mind? How are you? What's going on? Do you have a new video coming out? Produce. Just kidding.
Yeah, I'm working on one right now about young American females and the demands they place on courtship with men.
Yeah. Amazing topic.
Actually, you've talked about that in the past, so that'll be great, your newest take. It's been a few years since you've addressed that, at least on your YouTube channel.
I'm lucky. Yeah, I married a South African.
What does that imply?
She's not run by the, you know.
Well, as long as you've got running water and a roof, even if it's a shack, South Africans are happy.
Okay.
They haven't been bathed in the Disney.
I joke, of course.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Right.
In the background, I am still peeling apples for the apples. Oh, wow. Making it. So if you're hearing noises, that is me peeling fresh apples from the tree.
Okay. Well, so. Really? They are fresh, right?
Oh, my gosh. Straight off the tree. So.
Mm-hmm.
So FYI. Okay. So, yeah, Rupert, what else? Like, you were on a radio thing, and now you're not, and, like, you're looking for radio, so you want to come to Revolution Radio, right?
If you're going to give me a slot, I'll show up.
Good.
Good.
Right, wow.
See, that'll work well. And I find that, hey, you know what? Something that's actually starting to get really funny is people's fear of Ebola.
Yeah.
It's being blown out of proportion.
It might have been, but as someone who studies medicine in a passive way, I think bleeding from your eyeballs and, you know, your organs being liquefied, I think that's a real fear. I don't know how pertinent it is to a lot of people. And I kind of sit on the fence with that. I've gotten to the point where I've stopped taking sides in things and I just sort of sit and watch because sometimes I just can't call it.
You know, Rupert, I'm not acquainted with you.
His name's Rupert Quaintance and you're not acquainted with him.
No, I'm really not. This is the first.
I'm pleased to make your acquaintance.
Oh God,
Rupert, you got that all your whole life, didn't you? Just very briefly, maybe just introduce yourself and who you are to the audience, because you know you're kind of new to Revolution Radio. I mean, I don't know how literally new you are, but to me, I've been around a little while, so and I really don't know much about you. And you sound like
you're missing out, girl.
Well, that's why I want him to do the. You know, to explain a little bit, maybe if you like, let us.
Sure, I don't really have a bio ready, but I can spit it off the top of my head. Hi, I'm Rupert. I'm an American. I produce a YouTube show called Hi, It's Rupert. I discuss a wide variety of topics, which is edited together very well. That's my favorite thing to do is to edit the thing down. I operate several pages on Facebook. Currently, I have sort of infected my hometown, which is a small town, really in the grips of an old way of thinking about things. And I've started a discussion there, giving people kind of a launching board to start a new discussion about what direction they want to take their community in. Discussing arrests for drugs, discussing the police problem. I'm kind of optimistic about that. I guess I'm kind of a comedian. I'll do stand-up. I'm friends with, thanks to Facebook and all the people, I'm friends with people like Vinny. I'm friends with Lee Camp. Lee, I think, actually is, I've scheduled him to come here and do stand-up in February recently.
You're friends with me?
I'm friends with you. You're you've
the
sort of
queen
been a
of BS. For... Okay, let's get that straight.
Well, then I'm going to hit you up for a friend request, Rupert. I have Facebook too, so.
Oh, do that.
Okay.
Certainly.
Anyway, continue, Rupert.
Yes.
So, and your YouTube channel is amazing, and your videos, by the way, I'm always fascinated at. not only the content but the editing skills in said video. I have to tell you, it's really top notch.
Thank you. My favorite thing to do is to take a 9-minute video and make it feel more like 4. Sometimes I'll go back and watch them, especially if I'm in a writing mode. I'll go back and make mental notes about what worked, what didn't work. As you guys know, when you try something and you think it'll work, usually it won't. And then the stuff that you don't think will work will completely work. I've always been sort of a, I guess for lack of a better word, a contrarian, which is usually a finance word, but just any form of authority, I just speak truth against authority and find a chink in their armor. Like, for instance, I moved back to my hometown for about a few years back, and there was a group of wealthy individuals who have opened a theater there. They opened it as a 501c3 so that they can sort of skirt any taxing. Their idea was that they wanted to pilfer $2 million from the public coffer to finish their theater early, under the promise that any of the applicable taxes would be recouped by the community. Well, my point was, we were going to get those taxes anyway. Using the internet, commenting, and changing discourse, I stopped them from taking that money, and their theater opened years after it was supposed to. And after I did that, I realized that one person can actually start you can start something by yourself and make sure that something like that doesn't happen. And poor people don't need their money pilfered for some rich people's little pet project.
Well, it depends if you're the rich, if the rich person is a sociopath or not, in which case they could see it's perfectly justifiable. Yeah, I think that's the key to understanding the world. You ever get that? You try to explain to people like something about the Federal Reserve or 9/11 or anything really, and they go, "Oh, why would people do that? Why would people do that?" And it's because they're not criminal psychopaths. They just don't get it. It's like, bro, just put on your criminal psychopath goggles, look around for a second, imagine you got more money than God, no conscience, and you desire to control, dominate, rape, and steal everything. Does the world and the way it works suddenly make a hell of a lot more sense? Ah, yes. Yes, it does. And there's a reason for that. It's run by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. Thank you.
Well, when you have everything, when nothing is of any concern, food, shelter, transportation, or entertainment, once you've mastered those and you'll never be without them, then the only other thing left is to sort of control other people. I mean, games like The Sims kind of freak me out a little bit because it it trains people to view people like ants. There are people who look at the world like that, and you can see the effects of their decisions in your day-to-day life. I'm involved in, somebody's going to run around and pitch a reality show which is based on people running for president or major public office. I think president is the one that they're going to go after now. It seems to be very popular. But my main thing is, with our consumerist fetish in America and this want to keep up with the Joneses, as it were.
And the implied advertising to make us feel that is what we think.
Well, I mean, I'm aware of the trick, and I still am. I still feel like I'm under its spell. I feel like because I live in an area that's well-to-do, there are a lot of wealthy people here, and they're, you know how they are.
Can you give a general area that you live from?
Oh, sorry. I've got a great name.
I live in Charlottesville, Virginia. You may have seen Charlottesville in the news recently as... one of the University of Virginia students recently went missing and then was found skeletalized right outside of town. It's really cast kind of a negative shadow over the town, and it's felt by everybody, rich and poor.
Vincent, I'm sorry, Vinny. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Rupert was saying something about like a reality TV show for politicians, right? And the two ideas, like one I had a long time ago and one I just had now. The first one was a TV show called Politician Boot Camp. You know,
and
you
actually, I like it.
You know, you get like a master sergeant to bawl them out, you know, and just like, you will never answer a question directly. Do you get me? And they're like, well, I understand, but I think a commission needs to be appointed in order to ascertain the answers to what you're seeking. Excellent. You are going to be Prime Sinister someday. And and the other one, you know, that that show, The Apprentice, with what's his name, the dude
Donald
with the really
Trump.
Bad hair.
The Don? Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what you could do for a politician version of that show, you could call it The Appendage.
Oh, I like that. I like it. Yes.
Funny.
It'll be like Entourage, but for douchebags. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yes. Excellent.
Hilarious.
You can't get any better.
Oh, wow.
You know, what I like about tonight, you guys, is we were able to get serious but funny. It's like the perfect combination. I love that.
Well, you know, just because we're being ruthlessly exterminated doesn't mean we can't have a few laughs about it.
You know what? I agree. Hey, it's like a wake, right? Isn't that the equivalent? It's like a wake, a happy, exciting wake. Oh, wow. What's this party?
I think Robert's trying to chime in there.
What else are we going to do? Run and scream for the hills? I mean, we're kind of in this. We're here.
Yes,
we're not going anywhere, at least as long as we're in reasonable health. I was talking to somebody about this earlier tonight. I can't believe how the system's hand has been shown. They're not able to play it as close to the chest as they have been, and yet people, it seems, individually will speak against it, but collectively they're very dissonant. They don't want to. And that seems that seems the opposite to me. It seems like the safety in numbers sort of thing would dictate that maybe voices would be raised if there's not a finger that can be pointed at any one person. I'm honestly, I don't mean to be negative, but I'm kind of wondering at this point, is this it? Is this as far as we're going to go with this? That everybody says, well, I kind of don't like that, but, you know, as long as I've got my foreign-made cell phone and you know, abundance of food, and as long as my life is okay, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of incentive for people who could actually make a difference to begin to make a difference.
I'd like to point out something then. You remember that Harvard study, Rupert, where they electrocuted a dude on another side of the screen? And because, like, a Harvard doctor and a lab coat, person in a position of authority told them to do it, many of them wound up giving the subjects what they thought was a lethal dose of electricity, and they did it just because somebody in authority told them to do it.
I believe that was the Milgram experiment.
Yeah, that's right. And Milgram did two other experiments, which aren't so highly publicized in the same time frame. The other one was when they changed the condition. Instead of having just somebody sitting there telling you, they showed that person ordering another the subject to electrocute a person first. And they found out that instead of the previous result, where 90% of people would commit some form of atrocity if an authority told them, they found that 90% of people refused. And then they did another experiment where they showed somebody refusing to administer the lethal charge, lethal shock, and they found that 100% of the observers in that case, who were then put in the hot seat themselves, refused to deliver the charge at all. And so what the experiment means is that, one, if an authority tells you to do something, you'll probably do it. Two, if you see somebody committing an atrocity in front of you, because an authority told them to, you're less likely to do it. And three, if you see somebody resisting authority in front of you and being successful at it, you will definitely resist it yourself. And that's why they kept those two other studies, you know, out of the headlines, because the first one is kind of depressing to people like us. The second two, I think, are inherently motivating, because sometimes it's just one person that stands up in a room and says something that makes the whole room roar and change the entire dynamic. Never underestimate crowd psychology. It's a real powerful thing. It can be misused, but it can also be changed from the misuse into something good. And that's the power we all have. In fact, I got emails from listeners the other day telling me that they changed their lives because of listening to my show. Like, I didn't change their life. Oh, wow. They changed their own life. Mm-hmm. From listeners who were going to die or commit suicide who didn't.
Wow. You know,
because of listening to The Lighter Side of Genocide. Because, you know, it's that I just kind of felt this sort of responsibility to say that, because when you realize that you can actually help people, even people you've never met, if they can hear words of encouragement, it can make them feel like they're not alone anymore. And if we don't feel alone, we feel like we're part of something. And that's why mm-hmm. we still survive, and that's why we still fight.
Excellent point. I gotta say, Vinny, that comment was so what do you call it? Crucial right now. I mean, just you have no idea. It was just like powerful, really powerful.
For that matter, population. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So you're looking at crowd mentality and the ability to manipulate that, you know, for the good or the bad. And, you know, crowd evolves into population. So mm-hmm. it's really one and the same. And it is very interesting to watch the capitalistic mentality still, you know, take itself into, well, to become its own animal, and then to, you know, saturate the masses with, I need to keep up with that Jones, like Rupert was saying, etc. And you know, to keep up with that Jones, you know, I have to keep up with the Joneses, etc. You know, I need that fragrance by Kim Kardashian. And I always bring her up because I literally look at her as almost like a dictionary term at this point.
You know, she's become some kind of icon for a very bizarre phenomena, but go ahead, yes.
Well, yeah, I just think she's now a dictionary term, which mm-hmm. is the evolution of capitalism selling us something we don't really give a crap about, and somehow revering that as important and supporting it financially. It is its own, you know, dictionary term at this point, I think. And to watch, you know, masses be swayed because she's got a big butt, and, you know, and she's got good plastic surgery. You know, she's got some great plastic surgery. And I don't mean, you know, that it's Kim Kardashian per se. I'm talking about, in general, all pop stars with big butts. I'm talking about all, you know, iconic individuals mm-hmm. who sell things to me or try to sell things to me because I supposedly need them. All that type of mentality really is just another, obviously, a manipulation of crowd control, population control, mind control, all of that. So it is very interesting to watch the, I would say, effectivity of that whatever message onto, you know, said collective consciousness, whether it's crowd, whether it's population, you know, whether it's humanity, and who uses that for the greater good or the evil involved.
Well, it seems like they use it for distraction, but go ahead, Rupert. Yeah.
You realize what it is that we sitting on this panel and others like us, what we have learned to do is watch the controllers, and we've learned to view things sort of from a drone's perspective, and we've also learned how to view things for, you know, in 20-year, 50-year, 100-year, 500-year increments, and we are thinking like them without the money, without the power, but we have learned to be them. And that is very important to understand, that in your journey, in your informational journey, that is, Vinny, especially, and the rest of you, you've learned to think like the ones who are pulling the strings. And that, thanks to the internet and thanks to people reaching out to one another, that's quite important at this stage in the game.
Totally important.
Because we can use it for the greater good.
Well, I dislike the idea of even that there is a greater good. I think basically you've just got to do what feels right, and you can't hurt anybody in the process. I mean, or at least that's what feels right to me. I watched a documentary about the psychology of Batman and the Batman villains. And it was interesting because what happened to me was I got traumatized and then I became an activist. And then you have a look at the Batman psychology, and it's actually woven into a real social fabric there during the Depression, where money was scarce. His parents got shot in front of him, and then he becomes a crime fighter, and his one rule is to not kill people. Right? So the trick is to take whatever suffering or trauma or pain that is in your life and figure out a way to transmute it and make some good from it. Just like the making lemonade out of lemons thing. But in my opinion, it has to be from a moral obligation perspective rather than personal gain. Otherwise, the ability to think about shifting crowd consciousness and things of that nature will always be a power, just like all power, that can corrupt. And just like the Milgram experiments that I mentioned earlier that are not mentioned generally, there's also a third line to that famous Lord Acton quote, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the third line is all great men are inherently evil. And I took that one very seriously because I've now surrounded myself with people who basically expose corruption, scumbaggery, and immorality for a living, and these are all my closest friends and confidants, and I've done that to kind of put a shield around myself against any kind of corruption I'm human. I could be corrupted just like anybody else, and if I do, it'd probably be a very short time before all the chief scumbaggery exposes all my close friends and confidants.
Have to put this in a dictionary term. Scumbaggery. I just really like that term.
Yeah, the actions, Heather, motives, and portents of a scumbag.
You can make $1 billion off of that. You can just coin it, you know, copyright it, and then everyone will pay you,
there you go,
every time they say scumbaggery.
Just like every time I say Brondo.
Ah, yes.
What's the other one?
Brondo. Heather, do you have any comments? You've been quiet. You have anything did you want to share?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not yet.
All right.
Yeah. So I was in the middle of mid-thought there and you cut me off and I totally forgot it.
Oh, please go for it. Go for it. I'm so sorry.
Like I said, Jesus, I totally Benny. Forgot it.
Oh, no. I am so sorry.
Rondo.
Vinny is
it has electrolytes.
I'm sorry. Oh, go ahead. What? Rupert?
Vinny is just a never-ending well of thoughts and perspective.
We can drink from his well of wisdom. Oh, cliche. Sorry. He's like, huh?
I think what the example we're setting is that we have broken our mental chains and have learned to save ourselves. We've at least saved our own souls, and that is something that I think a lot of people who fight this fight fail to pat themselves on the back occasionally, because if you look backwards and you compare yourself to your former self, a lot of us have definitely come a long way in that, and I am included in that. I get frustrated, I get depressed, and I forget that I have come a long way, and I know all of you have as well.
Well, a wise man once said that the key to happiness is having really low expectations.
I've heard that.
Yeah, because that way, whenever something bad happens, you expected it, so you're correct. And anytime something good happens, you're thankful that you're wrong and you're happy about it. All right? So
yes.
My chief assumption is basically that we're all dead, we're going to get exterminated, the new world order is going to take us all out and everything like that, and I'm just trying to have some fun and resist every day that I can.
I think that's great. I do. I'm sorry. You know, it's
okay. Well, because
that way, any tiny day that I'm resisting the New World Order is one more victory. And so I'm having 300 plus victories a year here. and like, that's actually pretty encouraging. Like, I was telling, asking somebody to come down to a protest, and they're like, protesting, it accomplishes nothing. And I go, well, it depends what you're there for. If you think that going there and having the protest, like, stop the war in Iraq, or you like, the petition's going to stop and close Guantanamo Bay. I mean, you know, like the most ruthless military industrial complex that's ever existed on the face of the planet in thousands of years. Oh my God, these people have got pieces of paper. What, they've got signatures on it. What are we going to do? Oh my God, we didn't think of that. What do you think's going to happen, bro? You know? So when I go to a protest, it's about film in the speakers. It's about making sure that their voices get amplified beyond that of the already won over crowd that's in front of them listening to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I go there, I do accomplish that, and I make sure that it happens, because I know for a fact that when you go to a protest, you'll see heaps and heaps of cameras there, and not one of those frickin' people with that camera has the presence of mind or the borrowed time that it takes to just go home, sit down, edit it just a little bit, and get it uploaded for public consumption. I can frickin' say that there are thousands upon thousands of terabytes of protests from around the world that just ain't uploaded, and they're just sitting on somebody's SIM card somewhere.
Wow. Oh my goodness, that you took three breaths, right, to say all that, or more. Oh my goodness, I love it, Heather. You know, she maybe wanted to ask her. Go for it.
Oh, Heather. I was just gonna say, you know, before it got too far away about people who are suicidal. You know, I've always been like kind of suicidal minded, and it's not like it wouldn't be abnormal for me to talk about it or to think about it or to just want to be dead or just the way that I've always been. And Vinny, you know, you changed my mind just a few days ago, you know, and I can't think like that. And it was the combination of that with having to lose somebody close to me that and I'm back on the right path of, you know, my mind. You know, the mind path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, trauma's a big one, and you never get over it. And that's what I was saying. It's kind of like...
You know, somebody who suffers from maternal separation when they're a young child, could grieve up for 70 years.
It is like that. You know, you never get over it. You only figure out a better way to carry the baggage. It's kind of like, you know, you start off with a suitcase that you actually have to pick off the ground and carry. And at the end of it, you've got a carry-on suitcase that's got a long handle and wheels on the bottom, so it's much easier to drag it along. But it's still there, and it's still heavy, and it still weighs you down. You still carry it with you everywhere you go.
Go shoot a gun.
The invisible suitcase. Weighs a ton.
You know, I think just having sex is much better, you know.
I was going to say, there's so many.
That's how I get my rock salt off.
Here. Shoot a gun, have sex. What was the other one? What did you say, Heather?
What?
You offered a suggestion.
Just now?
I think it's better to chase. I got another suggestion. Chase a politician down the road with a megaphone and call him nasty names. That's a lot of fun.
You do that.
Yeah.
You do that already.
Exactly. Wow. That's why I appear so chipper, even though I think I'm about to be ruthlessly exterminated.
Wow. I'm on the edge, Vinny Eastwood. Anyway, okay, everyone, you're listening to Wild at Heart with Noreen Helphand. We have Heather Holman here. I think Nick is still here.
Nick?
And we had Wally joining us. And then also, oh my gosh, Vinny Eastwood, the newest addition to Revolution Radio, and Rupert, by the way, who I don't know if you want to go by Rupert Quaintance or just Rupert, but you know, we're going to be luring you onto this station.
So yes, Mr. Rupert, sir, you must come on this venerable station, please.
And of course, there's
well,
me.
You know what? You sound like very supportive people. So I think I can surround myself with all of
you. Yeah.
They are like the bra of talk radio.
Nice.
Well, this is why
I do this. I do it because I can.
Yeah.
Free speech. Mm-hmm. I support free speech.
Yep.
And I'm, as Vinny put it so nicely last week, I took a break from RR to get some R&R. Although it was really because I just have to take care of some actual business over the next couple of weeks. But I'm lurking. I'm ready for a spot. I'm going to come back. So I just, you know, you can't get rid of me quite yet.
Hey, I got one for you.
Really? A spot?
This will completely slam the transmission into low gear, but for the sake of being comedic, all right, you might have heard this one. Why do sorority girls travel in odd numbers?
I don't know why. Robert.
Because they can't even.
Because they can't even.
Oh, I was going to say because they can count.
I literally, ew.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Where did you get that from? The sorority handbook of cheap shots? I'm just joking.
I came up with a sorority joke the other day. How do skeletons drink beer?
How?
Uh-oh.
They skull it.
Okay.
I never get jokes.
Because a skeleton has a skull, and so that's how they drink the beer. They skull it, you know?
Yes. Okay.
They're like cups.
Everything literally.
Yeah. Maybe sometimes the joke's much funnier after you explain it.
Skull caps?
Never have to explain a joke. It's
but no, that was a sarcastic joke right there, which you also didn't get.
Yeah, no, I did.
Actually. No, we did.
And that was another sarcastic joke at the end.
Hey, Angela, what kind of shoes do frogs wear?
I don't know.
Open-toed.
Oh, that's good. Hey, what kind of financial instrument does frogs sell? Derivatives.
I
was totally going to say that.
That's great.
Derivatives.
A duck walks into a bar. He goes up to the bartender and he goes, "Have you got any duck food?" Bartender says, "No, we only sell drinks here. It's a bar." And he goes, "All right, I'll be back tomorrow. I'll see if you've got some duck food then." He comes back tomorrow, goes up to the bar. "Have you got any duck food?" Bartender says, "No, I told you yesterday we don't have any duck food." Duck goes, "All right, I'll come back tomorrow, see if you've got some." He comes back the next day, sure enough, walks up to the bartender and goes, "Have you got any duck food?" Bartender goes, "No, I told you twice already, we don't have any duck food. And if you ask me for it again, I'm going to take your bill and I'm going to nail it to this bar." The duck goes, "Oh yeah? Have you got any nails?" Bartender says, "No, I don't." "Well, then have you got any duck food?"
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Where'd you get that one from?
My brother told me that one on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
So he was saying, so you don't have any nails. He's making sure he doesn't have any nails. And so he's like, "Do you have some duck food?" Because he knows the guy doesn't have nails to nail his bill to the thing, to the bar, right?
Why didn't the jerk just go get some, like in the hospitality industry after that second question, he should have gone to just get a little duck food, you know?
Yeah, that'd be easier.
The poor duck, he was confused.
How do you keep a duck in suspense?
How?
Well, I think, I'm not sure if that
That's
was
your it. Answer.
Wow.
What do ducks even eat?
What?
Little bits of things.
Well, they filter feed. They go into bits of like muddy water next to like reeds and things like that. And they've got these little insects on the insides of their bills. So they sit there and they go, and all the and all the water sort of. That was a really disgusting sound. I'm sorry. And the water and the stuff kind of squirts out the sides of their bill up.
That's
called duck butter.
And then they get all the ducky nutrients they need.
Aww.
We actually had some ducks that were coming into our backyard here. And,
yeah, I've had that happen, yeah.
We feed them the wet bread, and the male duck's like always like wants to stay away from me. Like, and the female duck is like, "Have you got bread, bro?" And it comes right up and just eats right out of the hand.
I've fed many birds. I've fed swans, ducks, geese. I fed an owl once. It didn't take the food, but I love interaction with animals. It's amazing. So I don't know if that has.
Well, I was thinking like about this the other day about our relationship with animals, and some people are like really cruel and they hurt and they kill and they maim and they destroy animals and things like that. And other people feed them and stroke them and love them and care for them. So it's like we've got this duality about us. We can choose to be a parasite or a guardian.
Mm-hmm. True.
That's because we're out of the food chain. We're no longer part of the food chain and we have that choice.
This week.
Go swimming off an Australian beach in shark season and then tell me that again.
My goodness. Imogen, speaking of, Imogen's in a chat says ducks eat fish. I don't know if that's true. I don't think so. No, I've fed ducks other things. I've fed them other things too. Like
I think they eat aquatic plants.
Yes, they do.
And if you're going to feed them bread, don't give them the dry bread because it expands in their stomachs. It can actually kind of damage them. So you pour some water on it first, preferably not fluoridated water. Of course, we use the drinking water that we got out of our jugs to feed them some organic bread. So yeah, they loved it.
Now, are you on some type of a waterway, Vinny? I mean, are you on the coast or are you near a river? Or
let me just fill you in. When you live on an island, everywhere is the coast.
That's true.
Okay. Did you ever eat duck?
Oh yeah, that's freaking awesome.
It is good.
It's very okay. Good.
Mm-hmm. Only if you know how to cook it, from what I hear.
Yeah. There's you've got to get the Chinese yamcha.
The Chinese, yeah.
Yeah, the Chinese know how to cook duck, man, and that's because they hang them up and degrease them for like days. You know.
Yes.
I see.
Because otherwise, it's a very very fatty meat.
Duck sometime.
Sure, Heather. Sounds like a plan.
We'll split it.
Okay. You know, my husband always makes a joke when we're at a restaurant. And he says he wants turtle soup, and he wants it to be brought to him snappy or something like that.
Oh, man.
And he wants it snappy.
I want some turtle soup and make it snappy.
Yeah, that's okay. It. Thank you. Oh, my God. I totally see. You know, I'm the queen of screwing up.
That's so cute. Turtle soup? Now, how about that? I mean, we can't have shark fin soup anymore.
I'm not a fan of turtle soup.
So what kind of soup is there?
You can have anything except, like you said, ones that are deemed illegal.
What don't you eat? Like, what don't you eat?
See, personally, I don't eat anything out of the sea anymore. After the Gulf of Mexico and then after Fukushima, I was just like, yep, if it swims, I ain't eating it, bro.
I really don't think that the hype behind that is anything either.
Even if it's not, I didn't like seafood anyway, so it's a convenient excuse.
I love seafood.
On an island and not liking seafood, that's, you know, you must be a plebeian.
Well, we've got a rather large island with lots of land for grazing cattle and sheep and pigs and
New Zealand
all sorts
is
of
not,
other stuff.
I, you know, I don't really think of New Zealand as an island. It is, but it's the mass of the land is fairly large, so yeah, people forget that you have an inland area that is not that close to the coast.
Well, there's actually three big islands. There's three big islands. There's the North Island, the South Island, and Stewart Island. And basically, you can. I think what was so I read a statistic when I was in sixth form geography lessons in high school. It was 96% of New Zealanders live within 30 minutes from a beach.
Wow.
So yeah, we're on an island and there's plenty of stuff, but you just got to drive for a bit to get to it. Sometimes, you know, that's all. We've got mountains and well, you know, actually, if you look at the geography of the United States and you think about the Grand Canyon and the Rockies and some of the swamps of Alabama and the deserts and so on and so forth, we actually have like a representation of all those different types of land formations and different sort of environments in one small country. That's about the size of the state of California, maybe a little bit smaller, and it's quite interesting to see deserts and snow-capped mountains and lush bush within an hour's drive of each other.
Welcome to California.
Come to Arizona.
Yeah.
Hey, nice bush.
Well, no, I mean, you should come to Arizona because you could do that. Everything's like an hour away from the other thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I meant by that. Oh, Vinny, and I wanted to tell you a few of the things I'm sure we don't even have time to bring up right now since it's almost over. Things that I like to talk about that people usually don't, I mean, they're interested in, but they don't have, you know, feedback and stuff like that. As I like to talk about the 33rd parallel. I like to talk about the Fukushima radiation and what's happening to us. And if you think it has anything to do with Ebola, you know, that's just a couple things.
I'm sorry, I don't understand the 33rd parallel because, like, that just
screams
Freemasonry to me.
The 33rd parallel is like all of the things that happened, and it's like a global, like, circle.
Speaking of, oh my goodness, Wild at Heart.
I wasn't able to answer the question anyway.
Oh, you know.
just food for thought.
Yes. Anyway, you guys, well, thank you for joining this roundtable, Wild at Heart. I want to thank Nick, Wally, who was on earlier, Angela Black, Vinny Eastwood, Heather, and Rupert. And I don't think I missed anybody. Yeah, I said Wally. Okay, so stick around. We'll have somebody on the next roundtable. And if this was a wonderful, wonderful roundtable, you guys. You made it really good. Thank you for joining. Thank you so much.